I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. There are two scriptures that I would read this morning. First, in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the first verse. Then in the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the 8th verse. The first, Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. And then the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the 8th verse. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sun was flaming down the western skies. Night was descending upon Bethlehem. It had been a day of multiplied activity for some, vast confusion for others, great joy for a select few. But for the Roman officer who was charged with the duty of taking the census in the district of Bethlehem, it marked the end of another long day. All day, long lines of tired pilgrims had passed before his desk. But at last that line was empty and the wearying record had been completed. The Roman officer sat slumped in his chair as he reviewed the columns, double-checking to make certain that the record was correct and that his work was finished. When suddenly a shadow fell across the page. He turned impatiently to the door and he saw a stalwart man outlined against the setting sun. In his arm was a child. "I couldn't come earlier," he said. "The baby was born last night." "You're at the inn?" the officer asked. "No, we arrived too late. He was born in a stable." "Your name?" "Joseph." "Of what tribe?" "The tribe of Judah and David." "We're the descendants of kings," he added. The officer didn't look up. The world was full of sons of former kings, and there was only one king now, Caesar, the ruler of the earth by right of conquest. "Your wife's name?" the officer asked. "Mary." "The child's?" "Jesus." The voice of the big man was soft, as though fondling the syllables. It means the Savior of His people. The officer merely nodded. "Jesus, the son of David, the tribe of Judah." He closed the book. And so the birth of Jesus and His registration in the census of Caesar Augustus. It is this event that seems so small and insignificant that captures our attention and draws us to this moment. And as we reflect upon the events of that day, we relive them in joyous celebration. But then through the din of excitement, the melody of the Christmas carols, the joy of celebration, the warmth of renewed friendships, there slips in a question. Why? Why did Jesus come? Why was He born in Bethlehem? Why has God shared with us the wonder of His Son? What is it about Christmas that gives us a warmth that we know at no other time? What is it about Christmas that can melt our cold hearts and draw us together in love? What is it about Christmas that fills us with joy and puts a song in our hearts? What's the reason for the season? You know, when we find the answer to that question, Christmas will cease to be the celebration of a season only, and it will become the passion of our lives and the fulfillment of our dreams. What's the reason for the season? Why did Jesus come? Well, there are many reasons for that. This morning I would like to share at least three. The reason for the season? This first. Jesus came to bring comfort to His people and to you and me individually. Think of Jerusalem for a moment. How terribly they needed that comfort. And all of that long history behind them. The dreams that flickered out on Mount Gilboa where Saul and Jonathan lay dead. The glory of David tarnished by that unguarded hour when Bathsheba meant more to him than God. The long battle of the prophets with paganism when Baal had renewed his hold. The thunder of Sennacherib's legions across the land of Judea. The bitterness of the Babylonian bondage when the exiles wept for Zion and the harps hung silent on the willows. Eyes peering into the darkness, voices crying, "How long, O Lord? How long?" All of that for centuries. And then this, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." I want to tell you that note of comfort was needed then. And surely it is needed today. Think of all the troubled people among us, baffled and bewildered because life has treated them so unkindly. Those who are worried about their health, wondering how long they're going to be able to hold out and what will happen to their loved ones when they are gone. Men and women out in the world bearing the burden and the heat of the day. Mothers and fathers anxious about their children. Young people grappling with temptations about which they have never been able to tell anyone. Those who have gone down defeated in the fight and despising themselves because of that defeat. In the face of all that life can hurl at us, we hear this. "Comfort my people," says your God. "Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned." That's what God offers us at Christmas. His great comfort that has been given to us through His Son. God with us in Christ, going with us through the darkness. Think of God looking down on our world today. What do you imagine He must be feeling as He looks at the human scene? Anger? Impatience? Contempt? Disdain? Surely the psalmist knew better when he said, "Like as a father pities his children, so pities the Lord." You remember Coventry Patmore's poem, "The Toys"? The author tells about his little son who had been disobedient and was sent to bed one night unkissed. And how the father, relenting, crept up late that night into the room where the child lay sleeping, his face still wet with tears. Near his head on a table, he gathered some of his favorite toys, a box of counters, a few shells, one or two copper coins to comfort his sad little heart. And as the father leaned over and kissed those childish tears away and left others of his own, it occurred to him that perhaps God was feeling toward all of his sons and daughters of this world just as he felt toward his own sleeping son. Like as a father pities, so pities the Lord. See, that's the reason for the season. That is God's provision through His Son, Jesus Christ. God looking down on His people in their times of great distress and bringing comfort through the presence of His Son. The reason for the season? this second. Because Jesus came, fear has been removed. And I was scripture today, Luke has given us a beautiful picture of that first Christmas night. The shepherds are out in the hill countries tending their flocks. The sheep have been bedded down for the night. The fires have been kindled. The shepherds have gathered around to discuss the events of the day. Suddenly an angel appears to them, and with them a multitude of the heavenly host, and we read they were terrified. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, we bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You see, and with those shepherds, we recognize today that because Jesus has come, fear has been removed. Think how many times we hear that in the gospel record. An angel appeared to Mary and announced to her that she would bear a son. Man, that's a terrifying experience for a little unmarried girl during that day. And the angel began, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." And she became the willing handmaiden of the Lord. Early in his ministry, Jesus was passing down the shores of Galilee. He saw James and John, and he said, "Follow me." He called them to leave their family, to leave their business, and to come after him. Frightful experience. To be asked to leave all that you had worked for and all that had become security for you, and to go into a future that was so uncertain and so unknown. And Jesus began, "Do not be afraid. Follow me." And they became fishers of men. As Jesus went about his earthly ministry, he saw the multitudes of people desperate and hurting and lonely. And he said, "Do not be afraid. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." And he goes on to talk about lilies and birds and barns and God's provision. The Apostle Paul was caught in a storm one night and appeared that he would die. Frightful experience. An angel stood at his side, said, "Paul, do not be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar." And Paul preached the gospel in Rome. And in our scripture today, the angels were there in the hill country. An angel appeared. A fearful experience. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. We are bringing you good news of great joy. There is born in the city of David a Savior." And they found the Lord Jesus, and they spread that word. See, not only is that true for them, that's true for you and me today. When we find ourselves in the storms of life, we hear him speaking, "Do not be afraid. Lo, I am with you always. Take my hand in yours." And suddenly faith wells up within us. We're not afraid anymore. And we stand secure. Let me tell you a truth. All of us will know times of fear in our lives. Some of that fear can be creative. But when fear comes because we are worried about our loved ones, or we are uncertain about the future, or because we are carrying a burden of guilt and of sin, that kind of fear can destroy us. And it is in that fear that the Lord Jesus comes to meet us, and he takes our hand in his, and our fear is turned to peace. See, that's what Christmas is all about. God coming in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to turn our fear into peace, to make provisions for our lives, and to give us meaningful living when we live in him. That's the reason for the season. Jesus has come, and because he has come, sin and death has been defeated, and we have nothing to fear. The reason for the season? This third. Because Jesus has come, sin has been defeated. Let me tell you, there can be no real celebration until the conscience is clear and the heart is clean and the will is right with God. But that's what happens at Christmas. Listen to what stands written. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, that's the message of Christmas, and that has been the central message of the Christian church ever since that day. We hear it from Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We hear it from Peter. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We hear it from the Apostle Paul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, when the Lord saw the mass of attractive, lovable men and women caught up in the sins that spoiled their lives, the temptations they could not break, the wild regrets that were a misery, he gave his Son to set us free. And so today we can sing, Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. May I say a special word to you this morning? If you have been defeated on the battlefields of life, if you have known shame and self-despising, if you have lost the freshness of your souls, know this. Jesus gave himself to set you free. That's the reason for the season. God has come in his Son Jesus Christ. He has intersected our lives. He paid the price for our sins. And through his presence, we know comfort and peace and forgiveness. Listen to what stands written. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let me tell you, it is on that level that God's greatest work is done. That's the reason for the season. God grant that as we go through this Advent season this year, we would experience the real purpose for his coming, that we will be set free. We will know the wholeness and the fullness of life that he has come to provide for us.